I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. We have a lot to look forward to. There's a lot wondering what's going to happen on that day, but we have an assurance we know what's going to happen on that day. That's a big difference between wondering and knowing. Well, my thoughts are turned to Daniel this morning. We have going to be doing some pondering on Daniel's life. And I thought if you want to turn there with me, we'll look there. We had Brother Kerwin shared about pondering on our future. What's it going to be? And the children's class was on how do we handle peer pressure, or when everybody else is doing it, how do we go? And I had to think, well, we'll look at Daniel this morning and see a man that made some good choices, and he had three friends that did so as well. There was four of them that were faithful. So we're going to look there, but why don't we have a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll begin. Lord, we come before you this morning. I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for your word, the lessons and the values we can learn from it. You desire to change our lives by it, Lord. And I pray this morning that you could come down and speak to us, make your word alive and real, and give us direction, something to ponder on, something to make decisions by. And Lord, something we can learn from men in the past that walked faithfully with you. Lord, we just come to you this morning just desiring your direction. Pray you give me words to speak and bless our time together here with your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if we turn to Daniel chapter 1, I'd like to look there. Just pondering on it, I'd like your brothers to raise your hands if you have any thoughts. How old do you think Daniel was when we kind of enter into this book here? What picture do you get when you read this? How old do you think he was? I'd like a few thoughts. Maybe share a little bit why you think that way. Mark? 20? Reuben? Was a later teenager in the later years of a teen, Reuben said. Is that kind of what we all think, more or less? Somewhere's in there. We'd get that picture as we read it. Well, I did a little bit of research on Daniel and pondering on that summer. He was in Babylon for a few years there before he was given responsibility, or however that was. But as near as I can tell, he was in responsibility there with the kingdom's work for about 74 years. I don't know if you ever thought that through or looked it over. But if you look at Daniel chapter 1, it says there in the first few verses that they were taken. And in verse 21, it says, Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. And Cyrus was, I believe, about 3 to 4 years he was king, and then Darius came in there. It's a little hard to put the times together. I could have spent more time. But Daniel was there when they were taken from Israel and brought to Babylon. And he was there either with them or watching them when they left. And he went on there for, as near as I can tell, 2 to 5 years afterwards. We read about history going on after the Israelites went back to Canaan again. He was still there, back to Israel. And so Now, did he go? Did he stay? I'm not all sure, but we do read as you look at his life that he was working with. And as you look at God's fulfillment of time and his prophecy, it was a wonderful opportunity Daniel had to be there. And did it affect Cyrus's desire to bless the Israelites when they left? We don't know. But we're going to look at Daniel's life this morning and just ponder on a man of God that knew his God and had power with God. He was a godly man. The Bible speaks about him. And we'd just like to take some time and look at his life. Daniel, just going to share a few examples. Not just sure when and where to share them all, but maybe I'll share them now here just so we can think about it. 4 years after he was in authority and with Nebuchadnezzar there, he was called on to know what the dream was about 4 years later. So in Daniel's life, whenever a new king came in, it seemed like within a few years of that experience of a new king coming in, Daniel faced the choice of his life, whether to give it up and commit it to God or depart from his God. Each new king brought this kind of choice. 4 years after he was installed in authority, he was called upon to know the dream. And we know how him and his three friends took that serious. 27 years after he was in charge, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace. 37 years after he was in charge, King Nebuchadnezzar became an animal, more or less. Went through that whole experience. About 68 to 69 years later, there was the handwriting on the wall. By then, Daniel was about 90 to 100 years old, if we use these thoughts that we have. Daniel was a very, very close to 100 years old or better when he went to the lion's den. And he was well over 100, if we use this thinking, when the Israelites went back. And that's a long time, Brother Joe. That's a long time. And this brother was faithful, and it impacted the whole kingdom. And we just want to look at that this morning. As I look at the Bible, there's Jesus, but outside of Jesus' life, I don't know that there's one man that we have a more notable character that's written there to follow after than Daniel's life. And I was inspired as I read there and studied on it. Daniel made some choices. So let's look. Why don't we all stand and we'll read here a little bit in Daniel. Let me shift our position a little bit for a few minutes. I'm going to read a few verses and begin our study here. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at that end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. You can sit down, and we'll continue on here. And as I looked at these names, it was interesting to me. See, the king came, and there was war. Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem, and as he took it there, they spent some time with the people to a measure. I'm not just sure how all, but long enough. And talking with the people, he took note of the fact that there was the king's sons and the prince's sons, in verse 3, the seed or his children. They took note of who they were, and as it were, the king took some trophies, you could say, back to Babylon. He wanted to take some of them. There was a note there of wisdom. And I had to think about that. How would it be, you know, if the king came? How do you tell things like this? He was looking for men that had character. One where their countenance would appear to have wisdom and was no blemish. They were healthy. They were in good shape. Their speech, their reputation was in good report. These were not just average fellows. He was looking for notable character. Ones that had wise attitudes, good habits, had a good education. Ones that knew where they were at and were wise, were well taught, were instructed in the word or in science and knowledge. And it was very apparent by the way they asked them or the way they sorted it out that there was some young men that stood out and people knew about it. It wasn't hard to figure it out. There was a group and they were picked out and taken. And I just had to ponder on that. Young men, how do you look at this? How do we look at this as young men? 15 to 25, let's say. What are you going after? Where are you at? What's your habits? What kind of responsibility do you take a hold of spiritually and physically? You know, all these things were looked at. What are the things we talk about? Did they have a wise manner about them? One that had good reputation. The king was being particular because he was looking for men like that to help out. Probably there was a lack of that perhaps back there in his kingdom. And he was looking for help. He knew there was a need. How many of us fathers or employers are looking for people like this? You know, you look hard. And I think there was some wisdom. He didn't execute all of them. He took some of the choice ones. I don't know how it went for the rest, but I just wanted to park here a minute on this. It was well known amongst the people. They were recommended. It was clear that there was some that were gifted this way, and those are the ones he took. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in wisdom and understanding science. He knew that they would be able to speak well, would be able to handle responsibility well. They weren't taught in those ways. The king kind of took them as trophies or bounty of war. And on one hand, maybe you could say that's how war goes. But on the other hand, you can see very clearly the hand of God in all that. That there step that was taken was an act of God's mercy to the children of Israel. And it wasn't an accident that this happened. God had this worked out, but also, it's what's interesting to me as I watch the life of Daniel, it's so interesting to me how God was looking over it all and arranging it all. But Daniel made choices that just furthered the plan of God each step of the way. It's just beautiful how the two walk together. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. It seems God arranged the circumstances, but there he was, walking with God, step by step. So this here was, a part of God's mercy, and they were taken, and in verse 7 it speaks about they were given different names. There's something there the king tried, I believe, in this all. When he brought them back there, they were given different names. Daniel, Bel means the name of my God, and Teshazzar means the keeper of the hidden treasures. And that name is mentioned specifically in a couple places in Daniel. It seems Nebuchadnezzar took some pride in Daniel and wanted him to have a name of my God and a keeper of hidden treasures. He gave him a name that was of the Chaldean interest, of course. Wanted to sort of take as much as he could out of him and try to instill in them their culture, but he wanted to take what was good and use it, but trying to, almost in a sense, trying to brainwash or bring different direction to them. Shadrach, the name of that, the meaning of that name is the inspiration of the sun. And Meshach, his name means of the goddess. And Abednego means the servant of the shining fire. These names were given to these young men somewhat to try to help them put things behind them and sort of take a hold of a new culture. They were given these names that reminded them continually of their new culture they were living in. I believe they took it reminded them that they were pilgrims and strangers. But the king wanted to get them kind of culturized into his community there. Not only by name, but in their food and the things they ate, the things that they did. So verse 8 speaks onward here. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." And it goes on there. And Daniel, by his behavior or the way he handled responsibility, he was the kind of fellow that the Melzar appreciated having around. It was a blessing. He's one that he enjoyed or had special interest in relating with. And it didn't take long for a relationship to develop there. And God was working in all that. But I do believe there was things in these boys that were desirable. They were a blessing to have around. They were a help. They were an inspiration. They were good. Whether it's a wicked kingdom or not, good people are good. Now, these men love God, but these boys had good hearts. They were going after good things. And God used that and brought Daniel into favor with the eunuchs, the prince of the eunuchs, and gave him the opportunity that when this test came, he had an opportunity to prove himself. And so it goes on, and they were given beans and vegetables to eat. Pulses, lentils or beans. They were allowed to eat those kind of proteins and food types versus the wine and stronger drink or meats and just a lot of different things that were not as health conscious as what the Jews were comfortable eating. Those people ate freely, especially around the king's table. It was very lavish. And the Jews' diet was different. And so he asked them if they'd mind if he'd give them 10 days. You know, Daniel didn't put the guy way out beyond pushing it. He just thought, well, it's going to take some time, but he wanted to give a chance for God to come alongside and some of these good things to take a root. And, you know, if your mind's a lot more clear if you're not on strong drink, isn't it? It's a whole lot more clear. The things you talk about, the way you relate, is much more keen and sharp and aware. Much more desirable. These other ones, I don't know how it affected them, but you could get the picture that they were kind of living it up. I mean, hey, we're at the king's table. Let's enjoy, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime. Daniel looked at it, and he saw a danger there. He saw that he's got a choice to make. And Daniel realized that at a young age, and it really blessed me as I looked at that. He realized that this choice is going to take him a direction, one way or the other. And as he embraced truth and put the other beside and went forward, God blessed. In verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, as for these four children, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 19 says, the king communed with them, and among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So here we have Daniel and his friends. He realized that the opportunity is there to go one way or the other, and he made a choice. And I guess as I look at this, the title of my thoughts this morning here is Visions for Our Youth. You know, our youth, our young people, they have a lot of energy. They can put their energies in a lot of different directions and find more to go another direction. They're just full of energy. My boys are, and it's part of being a young person. There's energy and power there that some of us older ones kind of wonder where it comes from. You know, we remember those days, but we don't feel that the same anymore. It's different when you get a little older, and sometimes you enjoy a good talk as much as we used to maybe enjoy a really good volleyball game. You know, we get the same, maybe we get the same feeling of a satisfaction from different things. And, you know, we get older and our lives develop, and it should be as we... But how is it for us, young people? How do we look at our responsibilities? Are we looking at these things and using discernment what we put our hearts into? It's Daniel, I don't believe he had any idea at the time that he made a choice not to eat that food where this thing would take him. But those things are a result of choices. Our lives become the result of a lot of choices. And as we get older, as we develop, some of the things we did in our secret time, some of the things we did when we had free time, those things can either come back to haunt us or it can come back to bless us. When you get older, when you don't have that time anymore and your habits have brought forth fruit, you're either going to reap blessings or increase difficulty with age based on the choices you make now. You can't get around it. It's foundational. Daniel was a man who knew what it was to pray. I am challenged with Daniel's life. He had responsibility that was a tremendous load, but he had a custom of going to his place on the window that was towards the temple, towards Jerusalem, kneeling down there and praying, and people knew it. There was no calling Daniel three times a day at this time of day. He was busy and everybody knew it. You just couldn't get a hold of him. He was occupied. There's times he was busy. You could count it on a clock. He developed habits like that. I believe it started at a younger age. And he took those opportunities to seek God, to develop a relationship with God. And this test of faith here allowed God to prove himself faithful and allowed Melzar's respect for him to go high. It allowed Melzar to realize that this God that Daniel talks about is real. And God proved out to bless the four boys in health and in strength. God gave special gifts as there was needs in such a way as the people could see. God promises to give us grace to what we stand in need of. And Daniel had some tremendous needs and God did tremendous things. It was a blessing. God was on time. In verse 18, you wonder, how did those 10 days go? How did things progress for him? Well, God was on time, and because Daniel chose to put first things first. In verse 19 there, as you read, you'd get the picture that the king asked many things, and they probably had a deep time of sharing. Their gods were different. Nebuchadnezzar, his God was different than Daniel's God. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 19, their gods were different and they had different ideals, but the beliefs and fruits of the boy's God left such an impression on Nebuchadnezzar that he had no problem with what they were doing with their wisdom and all. He had confidence in it. The knowledge and wisdom they had, he immediately put them in places of responsibility because it was very evident to him he had something there that would be valuable and useful. Quite outstanding for just simply making choices to eat the right food. Quite outstanding. And yet our God is that way. And you know, when you read the book of Daniel, it's 14 chapters and it seems like boom, boom, boom. But when I looked at it, this was a process of 74 years. And it's evident throughout that Daniel had habits and customs that kept this fire burning. He did, and we want to look at some of those. I don't have time to exhaust them all. But he did. He took those choices. Dan, in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it speaks about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And he sits the wise men down and he was troubled. And he says, wise men, I want to know, this dream I had the other night was so real. I need to know what it was. Can't remember it. And it had a real meaning, and I want to know what the meaning of it is because this was so real. And something like that had never happened before. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things of any wise man or magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king's requiring of us. This was their response to him. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. These wise men ran into a hard spot. They did not have what it took for this one. This is for the gods. Well, we know that that's a broad statement with no value to it. There's no content in that. But this one here was the way it was. That's all they knew. That's all they had a hold of. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. But Daniel and his three friends, I don't know how it was, but apparently they found out about this when the death warrant came out. Apparently they hadn't been called upon. I don't know why, but that's the way it was. And when they were called and informed about it, the death warrant was out. They were rounding them all up to kill them. In verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? What's the rush all about? What's going on? And says in verse 15 of chapter 2, then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. See, the way the astrologers responded fueled the fire. The way Daniel responded, all of a sudden he had a day or two to seek God. It took a furious man, as it were, and kind of just put it on hold for a few days or whatever. How we respond makes a big difference on how people's attitude can go, I guess, was what I was thinking as I read that there. But then I go on to verse 17, and the excitement grows here. Daniel goes home, makes the thing known to his three friends. And this was huge. Just think about this, young people. These four boys had a problem. If they don't know this answer by, was it a couple days or whatever, they don't have an answer for the king, they are finished. It's over. We're dead men. We've got to seek God. In fact, you know what? Let's do it all night. I mean, these fellas went all out. I would have really been interested to know what that prayer meeting was like. And this was young men. These fellas prayed with a purpose. I mean, this is it, you know. Or is it? What does God have in this? Here we are. And they prayed. And I believe they probably prayed like they never prayed before. I mean, think about it just a little. I mean, this was it. They had 2 days. If they didn't have an answer, it was over. Well, God was looking on all this, and he knew what was going on. And God was right on time. And down here in verse 19, it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For now thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. See, Daniel, coming from the kingdoms of Judah, he saw kings get put down and executed. He saw kings' lives terminated, and he saw some lifted up. And I'm sure he thought about all those things. as he spent his time there in Babylon. And he when he prayed and he talks about removing kings and setting them up, Daniel had some firsthand knowledge of what that was like to experience that. And I'm sure that it caused him to think, but Daniel and his three friends got an answer from God. This prayer meeting paid off. It brought results. And so the next morning, I can imagine the enthusiasm he has to go talk to the king. And praise God, he did, and he goes there. And in it all, as you look at Daniel's response to the king, Daniel made it very clear that it was his God and it wasn't him. He explained to the king who his God was. He was the king of all the earth. He was the king of the heavens. He's the one that sets kings up and puts them down. He just helped him explain how great and who his God was. He gave testimony of his God, so he knew his God. And he goes on to explain the dream and the interpretation of it. And then in verse 46, it says, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel." Now, I don't think Daniel appreciated that he worshiped him. But on the other hand, for Daniel, and all what he was going through, I don't think he really knew what else to do. I mean, this was the king. But he kept a humble attitude in it all, and he behaved himself wisely anyhow here. And it goes on, and in verse 47, this is what really impacted me. "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." And in this all, Daniel gained a really high respect with King Nebuchadnezzar. And this relationship grew with Nebuchadnezzar with time. It went forward and it prospered in a great way. In Daniel chapter 3, it goes on. And here Nebuchadnezzar again, he sets up this image. Now this image he set up was of gold. I don't know the value of it. I didn't have time to put any thought into that. It was an image that the height was 70 cubits. If you take a cubit, it's about, I believe it was about 90 feet. I believe it was. I think I studied that out one time. It's about 90 feet tall. And about 9.5 or 10 feet wide. So he set this thing up in the valley, in the plain. And thousands, maybe more than that, but thousands of people came. And you could see this thing from afar off. It's like a silo, as it were. When you picture the size of this thing. It was huge. And there was music there. They played music. And evidently, there was a lot of instruments because the whole valley knew when the time was. And as we go on there in chapter 3, when the time came to bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. And so it was, they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And these boys, if you want to look with me in Daniel 3, verse 13. It says these boys, or let's just say they were 30, maybe around, let's just say they're around 40 years old. They were about my age by now. It's about 27 years now they've been in Babylon. Picture about three or four of us getting together regular. I don't know why Daniel wasn't here. Maybe he was high enough up. He didn't have to face this one. But his three friends did. So they were 40 to 45 years old. And here these fellows are. And they tell the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter," they said. "If it be so that our God, is he is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, And if he is willing, then he'll do so. But if not, be it known that we're not going to bow down to your God, Nebuchadnezzar, which you have set up. Our God is able, but whether he chooses to or not, it's his choice. This is where we're at. And so they go, and they end up getting cast into the fiery furnace there. And when you look in verse 26, 24 and 26, the change in Nebuchadnezzar's heart as he looks in there and sees four people walking about is amazing. He had a whole different perspective. In verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near and said to them to come forth, come out of the fire. And these fellows came out. There wasn't a hair singed. Their coats were not, no smell of fire was upon them. And then here are those three boys, three men at this point. Their God was, he told everybody that their God is God and that he's the God to worship. No other God can deliver people after this sort. The change of heart Nebuchadnezzar had was huge. And Nebuchadnezzar, he went through these things a couple different times. And it seemed like he would get high-minded and something would happen. Daniel and his three friends, their lives would get at stake. The power of God would be made real, and then Nebuchadnezzar would get a good perspective again. And it would go on. But as you turn into chapter 4, here was a real test. Daniel had this situation come up because King Nebuchadnezzar, he was getting high-minded. He had a tremendous kingdom. I looked there, and this kingdom was a large area that he had authority of. And as the wealth increased and the things increased, he got high-minded, and he was walking around in his home one day saying, look at what I've set up. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at maybe what even he might say, God has allowed me to have. I mean, he used a lot of loose thinking in his liberal thinking that he had and thought very highly of himself. Everything, every God, everything's blessing me. Look what I have. There's nobody greater than who I am. I'm the greatest man that there is. Thoughts like that. I don't know how deep, I don't know how, where all, but God knew. And that was the turning point right there. And this dream came to him to warn him of this. And Daniel, that this was going to happen. And Daniel had a responsibility. And I was looking at this in verse 19, and this dream, he was explaining it to Daniel, this dream that he had, and then Daniel, in verse 19, I just want to take us there a minute, Daniel chapter 4, verse 19, and just kind of, just picture here what Daniel went through. It says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Daniel had a fairly long-term relationship. It was probably about 30 years he worked with Nebuchadnezzar. He knew him well, but he also knew that Nebuchadnezzar is a fiery person. His temper could flip like a switch, you know, lights on, lights off. This is Nebuchadnezzar's temperament. And Daniel was given the interpretation of this dream, and just put yourself in Daniel's shoes to have to tell the king what this dream means. He was astonished for an hour. It's like, God, are you serious? You know. just picture the kind of turmoil Daniel, he faced every feeling you and I would face. I'm sure he did. Do I need to tell him? Can I sidestep this one? Can I just make it sound better? Do I have to tell him this way? Is this really true? God, are you? Think of the whole smear of thoughts that you'd face if you knew that you had to tell the king something like this. He probably did have a hard time getting his tongue ready to speak the words that had to be spoken. And he goes on here, and Nebuchadnezzar said, look, just tell me. And so he did, and he went on, and he said, wherefore, in verse 27, I am blessed by Daniel's wisdom here, but he said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by living righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, that it may be perhaps a lengthening of thy tranquility. He just wished the king to do righteousness so that God could maybe shelf this for a longer time. He just didn't know what to say, but this was the meaning of the dream. And the king experienced this. He got high-minded there the one day, and it says in verse 28, at the end of 12 months after this dream, he walked around in his palace and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? And as the words fell out, God spoke and said, the kingdom is departed from thee. And it goes on there, and it seems as though the king lost all reason. He was like as if he was a cow. His fingernails grew, and his beard grew, and his hair grew. He went around with nothing on. He would have looked like an animal. They couldn't talk with him. He lived out in the wild. Very puzzling situation, but it's like all reason, all wisdom. I mean, this man had mapped out voyages of, he was a powerful man, but it's like as if he lost everything. From the top, he went beyond the bottom. Just like that. And 7 years he was like this. Out eating grass, the dew of the air all over him, just like a cow. So they ousted him out of the palace. I mean, you know, can you imagine? Chased him out. You don't want a cow living in the palace. And so that's how it was. And in 7 years, let's read verse 34 here. It says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Now, just think about that for a second with me. There he is on the ground. And one day he looks up and acknowledges God. Nebuchadnezzar came to himself, and what did he see? Just think about that. There was a transition. It took some time to get from looking like a cow to looking like a king. That was an experience Belshazzar saw, but Belshazzar forgot about it with time. But Nebuchadnezzar, this was something that affected Nebuchadnezzar the rest of his life. But just picture the fingernails, the beard, the hair, the mess, the dirt, the grime, all that coming to himself in the midst of all that. And just read here with me and in verse 35, Nebuchadnezzar says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will, God does, in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords saw unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. This situation here happened about 32 years before his son Belshazzar had the writing on the wall. Now, for some of us, that's older than we are. Some of us are young people here this morning. But Belshazzar knew about this. Daniel reminded him of it later on. But Nebuchadnezzar knew about this God. He knew he was a powerful God. He sets up whom he will. And I've always appreciated the clear testimony there. And as you look at Daniel's life, one thing that interests me is Daniel, in a way, okay, you could say he was involved in politics. You could say that in a way he was. He was involved in the government. But Daniel didn't once have to defend himself. In the situation here with the fiery furnace, him and his friends, and with the lion's den, when you look at some of those things, I'm sure that Daniel had some enemies that wanted him done with, that hated him. And they got these laws in place. They got things in place to finish him off. And Daniel, in this situation, it was interesting how the king came to his reasoning again, but it interested me how Daniel never had to find himself refocusing when a different king came in position, or developing a new strategy, or becoming a different person. Daniel had a one God-minded heart, and he was a one kingdom-minded man. It's very evident as you look at his life that people knew that he was a man of God, and they knew where he was at in the time that he was praying, and I was really blessed with that. As you look at Daniel chapter 6, this other situation comes up, and these men, they hated Daniel. They tried to get a law in place, and says in verse 5, we're not going to find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning his God. So they set up a law. The king stamped it. And in verse 10, it says, Daniel knew the writing was signed, and he went into his house, his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication to God. I had to wonder, you know, with Daniel day to day on his responsibilities that he had working in the kingdom and the palace there, he had these guys. These were enemies. They hated him. They wanted him done. And in it all, how would God, these men find it if they looked at us? Okay, we claim to be a Christian and we're taking responsibility and we're doing what we're doing. Daniel behaved himself blamelessly, as he related, even with these men that hated him. They couldn't find anything to blame him for. And you know, how do we find it when people despise us? Is our character blameless? These things were going on. These laws were in the courtroom. They were devising wicked things. Daniel knew about it, but he kept serving his God and being faithful. He was blameless. Right up until they knew that he knew then that the writing it went through, they signed it, they stamped it with the king's seal, the law was put into action. Daniel knew where he was going, Daniel knew what he was gonna do. And how would we treat others around us? Daniel behaved himself blamelessly in this thing. And he went and prayed, and the men knew they were just waiting. They knew he was going to go there, and they caught him doing it. I don't know. Were they up on the roof looking down at his window? I don't know where they were. Were they hiding in his place? I don't know. But they found him there. And this interested me very much so as I looked here. He was caught, as it were, in the act of praying, and he knew that was going to set him up for trouble. But let's look together at Daniel 6, verse 15 to 17. I'd like to read that there. It says, "These men that caught Daniel praying assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest, he will deliver thee." The king is, he kicked himself for this. As you look at the next verses and realize what goes on, I'm just going to read a little further. It says, "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And he arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a loud voice unto Daniel. And he asked him, Daniel, are you alive? Are you there? Was the Lord able to deliver you from the lions?" And he goes on and he describes how it went for him there. See, the king, by this point, the king, I don't know why, maybe he forgot. But he just hadn't thought of asking Daniel about this rule that was being put into place. And he spited himself that he did something like this. Him and Daniel were good friends. They knew each other well. And the king, the reality hit him that, of course, Daniel would be in trouble doing something like this. Because we know this, he's going to pray, he's going to seek God, and but to just observe the king's response to Daniel before, he says to him, "The God that you serve continually will deliver you from these lions." I mean, he threw him in there expecting that it wasn't going to work. Do you think God wasn't moved to prove himself? I mean, God, I don't know how it was. It says they cast him in. And Daniel was 100 years old at this point. He was an old man. Falling down into a hole, for one thing, was not pleasant at 100 years old. Maybe at 15 you could kind of brace yourself. But he was 100 years old. And it says later they had to pull him up out. And he wasn't hurt at all. But I had to picture him like, as was it Peter went and walked on the water. Daniel, that night, I believe, sitting down there looking at these creatures, had a test of faith. I really wonder what kind of thoughts he entertained, but we know where he came out at. But just picture this here. Peter walked on the water and he looked around and he went down. Christ lifted him up. But Daniel proved himself right through. I don't believe Daniel fell short in his faith that night. We don't read of it. If you'd have reason to, it would have been pretty good. But he didn't fall short. He was faithful that whole night. He knew his God. Now, he was an older man. He was 100 years old, and he'd been through things with God. And we could say, well, he had a relationship, you know, he's older, you know. But these are big lions, you know, folks. These are real. The next fellows that get caught in there, they didn't even touch the bottom ere their bones were all broken. Now, I believe God had the opposite there. He stirred them up, those lions, and they were ferocious cats like they'd never been. But the difference in how Daniel was faithful and what God did, it's powerful. And the king believed in Daniel's God. And I don't know, as I looked at his life, and you can go on, there's different things. It goes on and talks about he fasted for 21 days. And there's other places it talks how he spent time seeking God, and God spoke to him. I guess as I looked at his life, I want to encourage us young people. It was an encouragement to me. But Daniel, he started out at a young age, and he made a purpose in his heart where he was going to go. And my question for each of us this morning is, where are you going to end up? What kind of choices are you going to make? Or am I going to make? And are we going to prove ourselves faithful? You know, as we raise our children and they grow and they develop, we don't know what God's going to do with them. And as was said this morning already, earlier, you know, are we training our children in such a way that would that be them that they'd prove faithful? It's a big responsibility, and we want to take it seriously, but I want to encourage us this morning, there is a cause. And we don't know where they're going to be and what they'll face. And may God help us to just be faithful and serve God. Daniel, at the last we read about him, if we use what was said this morning for ages, he is probably about 110 years old, still serving God in the court of the king, in the gate of the king. That's an old age. But he was as sharp and close to his God as he ever had been. It was about 2 years before the people went back to Israel that this lion's den thing happened. And he was well over 100 when that took place. So Daniel wasn't just like who he was around. He didn't just use the reasoning that was the popular way of thinking. He had his kingdom in mind. He knew his God. He knew what it was to pray. He knew to seek him. And Daniel had power with God. And God used him to reveal his power. And when Daniel spent time, he didn't stop till that there were answers. And in my life, it did me well to study, and I hope maybe we all got something from this morning. But Daniel was a man of God, and he knew his God, and God knew him. It says in one place there, you know, Daniel, from the moment you started seeking, your supplications went up to God. God heard you. 21 days the angels were up there doing warfare before they could get through to bring Daniel the answer to his prayer. But Daniel was praying through, as it were. And I don't know, it just really blessed me and motivated me that in Daniel 9, verse 3 here, this is when Daniel, he was probably about 105 or 110. Daniel 9:3, it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know, when the king stood there and he said, Daniel, you're going to the lion's den, but I know that your God is going to deliver you. Just think a little, this Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar knew him, Belshazzar knew him, Cyrus and Daniel knew him. Here was an old man that had proved himself, well over 100 years old, standing there. I imagine the king probably felt about this big. There was this old man standing there that knew God. I believe Daniel's countenance probably shone. I don't know, but he was a man of God. And to tell him that I'm in charge here and you're going in the lion's den, what was the king's attitude? He felt about this big, throwing him in there. And he even told Daniel his God was going to deliver him before he threw him in. Why did he tell him that? Because he knew that he knew his God and that his God was real. That's why. It's not because he believed in God. It's because he believed in that Daniel's God was God. It was all about Daniel's testimony that he spoke those words. And, you know, what do people see or how do they interpret our God as we live day to day? You know, do people see our God move by our lives? And, you know, as young people and as older people, you know, there Daniel was in sackcloth and ashes at 105, 110 years old, getting down on his knees. And if you read his prayers, he doesn't pray in such a way, oh God, you know, I love you and I'm here, but you know, those people, you know, the Israelites, the ones I associate with, you know, help them. How did Daniel pray? And he prayed for the people as though they were his problems that he'd committed. And he had love. And, you know, when we pray for our children and our wives or the church or all these things, Daniel knew what it was to stand in the gap for people and seek God. And God's heart was turned when he prayed. And so may God help us to get a hold of these things, whet our appetite for the things of God as well in our day. The needs are just as great. And we do believe the time is drawing nigh. One day it's going to be over. We heard that this morning. And where will we be? What will the Lord have to say about our lives? May God help us.